Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. It's great to be with you, friends, on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up a brand new week of broadcasting right here in the Grace Hour. And again, we want to thank you for being with us all week long as we have developed this theme of PowerPoints from the parables. And today we'll wrap up this week's broadcast with some comments from the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons from Luke chapter 15. And Pastor Schibelli will be joining us momentarily in the studio for today's Grace Hour message. And then following that message, we will, of course, as we always do here at the Grace Hour, open the phone lines and give you, our listeners, the opportunity to share your thoughts with us. And it's as simple as getting to a phone and dialing one of these numbers. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And you can dial that number anywhere in North America, Canada, as well as the United States. And the local number for those of you tuning in and listening in the greater Baltimore area where our broadcast emanates from, you can dial 410-483-3700. So however you choose to reach out to us here at the Grace Hour, we welcome your calls and your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. And do want to emphasize those prayer requests, because oftentimes when you have called us with a prayer request and we have prayed together with the body of Christ, we've seen God answer those prayers. So we want to encourage you, when you call upon all of God's people, wherever they may be tuning in and listening to the broadcast, you're asking the corporate body to pray for whatever needs you may have. And I think that God is moved by those prayers. So we hope you'll join us when those phone lines are open. And again, we'll be taking a look at the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, talking about the lost sheep, lost coin, lost sons. So welcome to those of you that are live on the internet, gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Apple, Spotify, all of these different platforms. We want to welcome you to our broadcast on this Friday afternoon and, of course, invite you to join us a little bit later in our broadcast today following the devotional message, and hope to hear from you. Weigh in, share your thoughts, comments, questions are all welcome right here in the Grace Hour. We'll wrap up this week on PowerPoints from the parables, and then we'll have a brand new week of broadcasting coming up for you next Monday. But of course, next Monday, you'll listen to the broadcast here on the Grace Hour live at 11 a.m. That's right. Beginning next Monday, April 4th, you'll be listening to the broadcast of the Grace Hour live at 11 a.m. And thereafter, we'll be broadcasting every day at 11 a.m. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. Hopefully this change in our schedule will not impact you too greatly, and hope that many of you that listen to us live can continue to listen to us live. And those of you that are unable to, we hope that you will archive the broadcast and listen to it a little bit later. Again, these archives are available on so many different platforms now, such as we mentioned, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Audible, Google Podcast, and Stitcher, just to name some. So again, if your desire is to hear the Grace Hour broadcast, you have a lot of opportunities to do it. Pastor Schibelli's joined me in the studio today for today's devotional message. The last broadcast.
Oh my God.
At 1 p.m. Eastern Time. How about that?
Yes. And I won't be here Monday because I'll be on my way to another part of the world.
That's right.
So the inaugural address will be given by you and somebody else.
Yes, that's right.
The inaugural address at, what time is it again?
11 a.m.
11
Eastern Time.
That's the first time at 11, right?
It is. We used to be, it used to be 10 a.m. in the morning for many years.
This is the 11th hour, Grace Hour. Yeah.
Hopefully this will be the last change what we'll make.
Are you sure?
I hope so.
Luke chapter 15, I want to read the first couple of verses, this parable that Jesus spake about lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. And I just think it's interesting in the first couple of verses. Then, Luke chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear. Now, that's interesting, a statement alone right there, that Bible verse. They drew near to hear. Now, I wonder what they were going to do with what they heard. Would some get converted? Would some become more hardened after hearing what they heard? Would some walk away with contemplation, considering it, maybe thinking it over and making decisions later on? They drew near unto him, all the publicans, tax collectors, and notoriously evil sinners, the word that's used there. And they drew near to hear him. I think a lot of people will draw near to the Bible and even come to church, and maybe they want to hear something, but I know faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God, but do they really hear with an ear that will be receptive and will allow the word of God to sink down? You know, we see different types of hearers in Luke chapter 8, another parable, and only one heard with an honest and good heart and bore fruit, some 30, 60, 100 fold. So these publicans and sinners drew near to hear. Some would hear, become reactionary, walk away, say, I don't want to have any part of that. Some would hear and say, I'm going to consider that at a later date. Some would hear and they would receive and believe what they heard. Okay? They drew near to hear. Some would maybe draw near to hear and actually become enemies or become people that totally disagree with what was said. And by the way, so you have many people that come to church and they draw near. They do come to church. They draw near to hear. And sometimes what they're hearing is the word of God. Sometimes it's the word of God mixed in with a lot of other worldly thought patterns. Sometimes it's nothing at all. It's just some denominational thing that has nothing to do with the truth of the Bible. So they drew near to hear. And as they drew near to hear, now Jesus was going to tell them three things about being lost. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And what would be their response to these three stories that were told, these three parables? And he spake unto them this parable. They were all three parables, but they told one, was one overriding thought to all of it. And it was about something that was lost that had been found. Something that was lost that had been found. I was thinking about this today. We just were out on evangelism, and I was thinking about some of the people that I met and talking to them. And I wonder how many churches are lost, complete churches. And by the way, they're religious churches. They certainly say they believe in God, but they're not born again. They're not saved. They have a religious observance, especially as we get towards Easter. You'll see many types of religious services being offered by many different types of churches. But are these churches really the ecclesia, which is the Greek word for church, the ecclesia of God? Are they really churches? And are they churches that are lost? So you have churches that do not believe in being born again, and now they are communicating messages to people. They are lost churches communicating to lost people. And a lost church communicating to a lost people will get no one anywhere at all. Lost churches, lost people. Then we have, oftentimes, we have churches that are out there, and they believe in God, and they believe in being born again, and they are communicating, but they're always communicating to save people only. They do not really have any kind of desire or functioning way of reaching lost people. They just really don't do that. They can talk about them in sermons. They could even speak a sermon on Luke chapter 15 about lost sheep, but they do nothing at all in their church activities to reach out to the lost. So that's the second type of church there. One is lost people, or a lost church communicating to lost people. The other one is, what do we say, the exact same thing? It is people that are saved, but they don't believe in the Great Commission, and they're communicating. And this is very interesting, what goes on. Then we have churches that are spiritual. The leadership is spiritual, and they are saved, and they are communicating to people that are saved, and they have a vision to reach lost people. lost people. So this really is a very important subject, because if churches and Christians are not reaching out to lost people, who is going to reach them? Do they think there's going to be things that are going to drop from heaven to wake people up and say to them that, you know, you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior at all? I think it's very sad today. You know, we live in what we would call a Laodicean church age, where churches are lukewarm, and Jesus says, you're neither hot nor you're cold, and I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Your taste, your spiritual taste to Jesus Christ is not a taste that he wants to think about, that he wants to entertain, that he wants to be even involved with. They are just lukewarm churches. And this is what can happen. They say that in America, I could be wrong, but some statistics I've read, is that only 10% of all born-again believers actually engage in some aspect of evangelism. One out of every 10 would be involved with evangelism of some type. Another very interesting statistic is that only 3% of the 1% engage in evangelism and then teach other people or disciple other people, showing them how it takes place and training them in that. So it's pretty serious and pretty sad when you think that those who have been entrusted with the message of the good news really have any desire to reach people with the good news. I have said this at times, and it's not true in every case, but I would say in most cases, churches that do not have any desire to evangelize a neighborhood, a town, a city, a state, or the world, how can they be spiritual? Oh, they can be born again. They can be born again people, even born again leaders. But are they spiritual? Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, and especially 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, you are yet carnal, you are fleshly. And not only were they fleshly in ways that would reveal that their fellowship was not based upon spiritual things, but they were fleshly in a way as they did not reach out and minister to lost people. And I think it's just a great opportunity that we have. And sometimes people will be intimidated and say, well, I don't know how to do that. I've never been trained. What do I do? Well, if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's very clear to me, maybe not to you, but to me, that you can speak to people about the one who saved you. No matter what you say, sometimes people think, I'm not going to say the correct thing. I'm not going to say it correctly. I'm not going to explain it correctly. Listen. That's better than never doing it at all. To do it and not even to be perfected in it or get it right as an opportunity for you to minister to people, and you leave that up to God himself about the communication and the effects of evangelism. And it's interesting that in the Christianity that we live in today, it's not really a popular thing. It's not the popular thing to reach people on evangelism. I think it was our eighth graders that went out today. I'm not so sure which grade it was. What grade was it? Ninth graders that went out today in our Christian school. And it's awesome to be able to take young people out and get them to a place where they become at ease and assured and have a comfortable idea about what it means to reach people, even doing it with them, and sometimes maybe they won't say a lot, but they're watching people who are doing it, and they're learning great lessons about the importance of reaching the lost. I have a question for Christianity or for Christians today. Do you believe there's a hell, really? Do we really believe that there's a hell? Oh yeah, of course we do. You believe it theologically, but do you believe it spiritually and practically speaking in my own life? Do I believe there's a heaven and there's a hell? Do I believe that if a person does not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's a destiny that awaits them where they are separated from God forever? Let's consider the loss today in our program. Let's see and let's understand the joy that comes from evangelism. John 4, 31 through 36, Acts chapter 8, Psalm 126. You can see, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a great joy in Acts 4 and Acts 8. You can see the great joy that takes place in the book of Acts over one person, one soul who says yes to God. So, Father, thank you today. We pray that you would bless our time on the air, wherever we are going with this, whichever direction, whichever device, whichever channel, whatever it is, God, that you would touch us today. Give us a great burden for the lost, a great understanding from your heart. When we draw near to hear, we will hear with a receptive heart that says yes to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's the conclusion of today's devotional message, friends, on the importance of reaching the lost, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hope that you and your churches are involved in that great commission. And again, when you think about the opportunities that God has given each of us to do just that, it's amazing. And at the same time, with each passing day, those opportunities become, at least for us, fewer and fewer.
Fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. You know, they become fewer and fewer. And I think it's very important that this is considered. It's not a subject that is talking about or spoken about that often in churches today, I would say that. And I don't know, maybe they don't think it's important, but do you think that last words are important? Well, think about the last words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority is given unto me in heaven. And where else? On the earth, right? Go ye, you go, go ye. And by the way, the actual language doesn't say go ye, it says going. It's to be continual. Mark 16, 15, go. Luke 24, 47, go. John 20 and 21, go. Acts 1, 7 and 8, go. Acts 8, go. Acts 10 and 11, go. Acts 13, go. It's amazing. Acts 16, go. And on, Acts 27, go. So you can see that Jesus' last words, specifically spoken to the disciples, would be that they would go. Remember he said it in Acts chapter 1, verses, you look at maybe 5 through 11 or 12. Why stand ye gazing up? Are you going to become gazing Galileans, watching Jesus go and waiting? I'm just waiting until Jesus comes back. And all of us have that expectation and have that great desire to see Jesus return. But are we going to be gazing Galileans or going Galileans? There's the question. And these were just poor, simple men. They weren't like these educated specialists. They were poor, simple, it says at times ignorant and unlearned men in Acts chapter 4, 11 through 13. But they were given a great commission because it was a grace commission. And they were to be going Galileans. Who would have chosen? I mean, Galilee? This little place up in Israel to the north, and that from there would come this message that has reached us today. Here we are today because some Galileans, instead of gazing, became going Galileans.
Mm, beautiful.
And we're here today. We're on the air today because of them, because Jesus, because of Jesus, I know that, but Jesus commissioned men, and he commissioned men to go. It's all so easy for people to say, one time I met a man, he says, I don't evangelize because Jesus does it. Oh, really? That's interesting to me. Well, how about using you? Oh, no, he'll do it. He'll do it. Don't worry about it, you know? No, that's not the case at all. So, gazing Galileans or going Galileans?
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah, that's the gospel message. You know, that's a great point that you bring up because when you think about it, of course, as that guy said, well, Jesus will do it. Yeah, but he employs his people, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's kind of like the feeding of the multitude, you know, the feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's going to do it. Yeah, but he employed his disciples. He said, okay, this is what you need to do. Have everybody sit down and then get what you can from this young lad, a few loaves, a few fish, and then take it and distribute it. He employed the disciples. Could he have done it all himself? Of course he could have.
Yeah.
But he
used them.
He used them. He engaged them in the process.
God will never hand you an unemployment slip.
Amen.
I like that. You know, D.L. Moody was at a prayer meeting one time, and he heard these men praying. And all they were saying was, Lord, touch this person. Lord, touch that person. And I know that's okay. It's an okay prayer. Lord, touch this one. Lord, touch that one. But he realized that none of them really did any outreach. And he said to them, would you men just listen to me for a moment? They all came out of their prayer position. And he said, you are the finger of God. Mm-hmm. You are the finger of God. And God wants to use us as a finger of God on our street, in our neighborhood, at our job, wherever we may be, going on outreach. A church should have an outreach that they are going out at least one time a week. We would try to go out many more times than one time a week. But there ought to be something that's planned, and something that's talked about, and something that's promoted. A lot of churches promote a lot of things. They promote buildings and decorations and painting and this and that. We're having a play, and what do you think the objective of the play is? To show what great actors we have? I don't think so, although they are great.
They're good.
And God.
Yeah.
What's the objective of our play? To make people cry? No. The objective of our play is to bring the gospel to lost people.
Amen.
That's what the objective is.
Yeah. And that is a great outreach that we have annually here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. Of course, with the recent pandemic, we were not able to have it. But this year, the Easter play is back, and it's entitled One Decision Will Change Your Life.
Amen.
And it's all going to begin on the 12th of April, which is coming up soon. Today's April 1st. Hey, by the way, do you know what today is, really? You know, the atheists...
April Wisdom's Day?
No. The atheists always say, you know, you Christians, you know, you got to have your Easter celebration, you got to have your Christmas, you have your special days. What about us? Well, today's their special day.
Yeah,
April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
As the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Today's their day.
Got controversial there from that, huh?
Today's your day. So the Easter play, April 12th, that's just 11 days away.
If you say there is no God, today's your day.
Today's your day.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Fool's Day. April Fools. April 14th, 15th, and 16th, also the other performances for the Easter play that will take place right here in our chapel on our stage. And again, maybe you're familiar with the Easter story. Maybe you're familiar with the account given to us in the scriptures and the gospels. But to see it performed live in front of your eyes, it's very special. So we want to encourage you to come. Invite your friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, anybody you know that you would like them to hear the gospel. This is a great opportunity to present that gospel to them.
I asked some church leaders one time, they were talking about all kinds of things, that you know, business of the church and all this. I said, you know what would be a great idea? If instead of having a church leaders or elders meeting, let's all go out on evangelism. Oh, man, you should have seen the disdaining looks that they gave me. You know, and I realized, I got to get out of this place. You know? No, really, it's just it was just too much, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say this is going to be a little bit tough to swallow, and it's not for everybody, every case. But in most part, in my involvement in churches in certain parts of the world, especially Africa, if I find out that church pastors do not evangelize, I personally would ask them, it's their decision, that they should step down. They should do something else. Mm. I just don't think, if you don't have God's heart for the lost, how can you lead a church?
Wow.
You know, somebody said, that's pretty tough. No, it's not. No, it's not. Jesus was a soul winner, and he was God himself, and the apostles were soul winners. It's been something. It's just because the trend nowadays is not to do it. So people think that's the way it should be, that not evangelizing is what it should be. I wonder how many leaders in the church in Baltimore actually, you know, they'll talk about the problems in Baltimore and whatnot. You ever do anything about it? Do you have just a prayer meeting, or why don't you go out on the streets? Why don't you encourage your church to go out and to speak to people about Christ? Lives could change. Everybody's thinking about how do we handle the problems in cities and crime and drugs and all that. The way you handle it is by preaching the gospel. It's only Jesus Christ that can change that. Amen. And if people don't hear about it, how are they going to change, you know?
Yeah.
And Romans 10, how shall they hear unless someone be sent, right?
Got to go. You got to go. Well, the phone lines are open, friends. We're ready to receive your phone calls at 800-338-7060. That's toll free in all of North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And our first caller from the Boston area, Susan, is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Schiavelli. This is an awesome broadcast, and exactly what I'm calling about was for prayer for four specific people, and I've called before, but when you said about the corporate body all over the world, and this is a crucial situation because they need to get saved, and they're into Buddhism and Reiki, and how the New Age counterfeits for Christianity is just infiltrating our society at every turn. It's heartbreaking, and I want these people to get saved, and I'm praying for them, but I want the corporate body to pray. And there's dozens of people that I'm praying for and witnessing to, and you give out a track in the supermarket, and or if you leave a track for the waitress or however, and you might not get a chance to talk to them, but you can pray for them constantly because you know you gave it out, and the word of God will not return void. So you just keep praying, even though you don't even know their names. You just keep praying for these people and asking God to save their souls and knowing that you'll see them someday in heaven, you know. And I can't imagine not sharing the gospel because we know where we're going. And why wouldn't we want to share that with someone else?
It's
we've got it
thing.
Made, really, you know?
It's the most interesting thing. It's the most interesting thing, Susan, to me, is that people that are born again do not care about the gospel. I mean, this is this is a satanic plot that the devil has perpetrated, and he's going after churches. See, once you're saved, he can't stop that. Well, he does tell the lie that you could lose the Holy Spirit, but he's a liar. But what he wants to do, his most effective way of counteracting Christianity, is to keep people from sharing their faith. Do you know that out of 7.4 billion people on Earth, they say, and these are statistics I read from a couple of different groups, only 700 million are born again. Wow. And out of the 700 million that are born again, they say 200 million are in China, which is really interesting. Another 220 million are in Africa, okay?
Wow.
So China and Africa occupies more than half or 60, 70% of the Christians. So that means there's not, I don't know about America, out of 330 million, I think somebody said maybe there's 100 million born-again people. I don't know. That could be true. Maybe it's more. I don't really know. But you see only 10%. 10% is a good figure. You know, it's a remnant. So out of 7.4 billion, and people think we have nothing to do. People think, oh, we'll just wait till Jesus comes. You know, what are we supposed to do anyway? What are we going to do anyway, you know? Or what's the church supposed to do? The church is supposed to have a message to reach people.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to do. If we had a Bible school that didn't teach evangelism, I wouldn't teach in that Bible school. If we had a Christian school that didn't care about evangelism, I'd say close it. Close the doors. If we had a church that didn't care about lost people, I wouldn't go to it. I don't care how nice the building is, how much they would pay for salary. You know what? Sorry about that. I'm out of here.
I agree.
You know? I'm looking.
You know,
it happened to me already once. I was in a situation like that in Northeast. Is it Northeast? Yeah, Northeast. And I just said, you know what? I'm moving on. I mean, nobody seems to care. Nobody cares. You have a church of 700. 3 to 5 people would come out on evangelism. And I thought, this church is dead. It's deader than a doornail, even though it's growing. Even though people are coming, by the way, we call it transfer growth, right? Yeah, I'm going to go from this church to this church because they have this and this program and that program and this situation and that situation, a nicer building, better music, whatever. But it's got nothing to do with reaching the lost. And that's sad. That's a sad state of Christianity. But don't despair. And that's why I believe that a lot of people lack joy today, because we go forth bearing precious seed. We have joy of the gospel. There's a great joy. The gospel means good news. So I get the joy of the good news when I communicate it. When I communicate it, it's joy. They went out with joy. They preached with joy. Just read Acts. Read where Jesus would evangelize people. Luke 17, Luke 18, Luke 19. It's amazing. And tremendous joy, rejoicing. And I think that maybe that's why that's missing in Christianity today. People are what we call in Spanish, los miserables. Well, I don't even know if that's a word. Miserable. When's the last time you smiled, you know? Like, what's going on? You're going to heaven. God, you look like a dried up prune. Prune Christianity, not pruned by God, but a prune. I think prunes are good for you too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They are. They are good for you. But a Christian prune face. Wow.
And you know, you don't even, in my experience, I didn't even have a church when I got saved. I didn't know anything about anything. I just prayed the prayer. I woke up the next day after I had prayed and asked Christ into my heart, and I was a different person. And from that point on, I was so happy that I know I offended many of my friends, many of my relatives. They thought I was insane, and they told me so. But I didn't know what else. It just came out of me. It was like, don't you want what I have? Because, wow, this is what I just got last night before I went to sleep, you know, and I woke up with it. And then I prayed and said, God, okay, now what do I do? What is Christianity? And I said, put me in a church where I can grow, get to know God, and, you know, with other Christians. And boom, here I was at the Bible Speaks, you know. And it's a miracle. You don't, it's like it just happens in your heart. God, the Holy Spirit does it without any understanding whatsoever. You don't need to be, you know, and then you come into a ministry like this, and it just grows and grows and grows. And I remember Pastor saying what you said, Pastor Shabelli, if a pastor doesn't go out soul winning, he's not worth his salt.
How can you open the book if you don't have an open heart? You're opening the book using a can opener. It's not opened by God. You just open it up and deliver some message, you know, and it's very sad. That's the state of things. I'm sure it's been said in the scriptures about the last days. There's no doubt about it. Nobody.
But it's all about souls. It doesn't even matter what's going on. It's souls, because these people are facing hell.
How about if they don't even read the Bible? If they don't read the Bible. They're not going to know the message of the gospel. They don't even emphasize the scriptures. In churches anymore. I mean, think about the things that are missing. No scriptures, no body life, no evangelism. It's unbelievable. No scriptures, no body life, no evangelism, very little prayer meetings that go on, you know. And it's really amazing what's going on. It's satanically amazing, you know. Yeah. It's the devil. I'm not trying to give credit.
Is.
I'm not trying to give credit. By the way, the devil's a soul winner. The devil's a soul winner. Just read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He's a roaring lion, that's his mouth, seeking, that's his heart, those he may devour. He walks about, that's his feet.
Yeah.
That's his feet. Satan's a soul winner. He's roaring, that's his mouth. He's seeking, that's his heart. He's walking, that's his feet. And he's out there going after people and bringing them into captivity and darkness.
Well, that's why I want people, and there are four specific ones with this Buddhism thing, Janine, Evelyn, and Kathy. And I want them captured into God's kingdom. I want them translated, and I want them pulled out of the kingdom of darkness. And I won't stop for these. I just can't stop praying for them. They're heavy on my heart every day. Not that the other ones aren't, but these four, for some reason, just are heavy on my heart. And,
Father, we pray for these four right now. We just ask with our listening audience that you would bring in creatively through the Spirit a message that would reach them, that would touch them, that would change them, that would convert them, that would save them. God, we know that you hear these prayers, because your prayers and your desire is for people to get saved. You're not willing that any perish. That's what you said in the Bible. God is not willing that any perish. So touch them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And by the way, our pastor in Peabody is a soul winner. He's amazing.
Amen.
And he's the best. You know.
Amen.
So
and he'll be
Pastor Jim.
He'll be at the Northeast Conference, right, this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Both days. Yep.
Great.
Yep. Hopefully many of us will be.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. We'll be praying
for you so much for your
Joanne,
time.
Tom, Evelyn, and Kathy.
Janine. Yeah.
Okay.
Love you. Thank
God
you
bless.
So much. Bye. Bye.
The phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060. Please don't hesitate. Go to your phones right away, 410-483-3700. And I got a number of you folks that have weighed in on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Carol Massengill appreciating today's broadcast. Julie Moss over in Great Britain says, amen. Saravan says, we have the gospel in our hands, and that's how God uses us to save eternal souls. He's committed this gospel to no other creation but to us. Amen. Evie Aldenin, Helsinki, we're listening. I'm recovering from the virus, but let's pray for Pastor Risto and three other brothers from here visiting friends in Lithuania and Latvia this weekend. Father, we pray for that outreach, and we know that there are plans even in the upcoming months in the summer to reach these countries as well. So please, we pray for Pastor Risto and those with him, laying the groundwork for even more investment, the gospel in these countries. Bless their work, Father, and bring a harvest of souls from their time together this weekend. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. And Suzette says, well, it's got to be either gazing or going. And I'm so glad to be going and praying as others go. Thank you, Suzette. God bless you. And Hane Pinkova writes, amen. Never in my life have I sensed or felt so much to share the love of God with hurting people. Pray that I find a church that evangelizes, that has sound doctrine. And we will, honey. Thank you. And then Julie writes back to us in Great Britain. This is the lady that led me to the Lord Jesus, said to me to look for a Bible-believing church the next day. And then I woke up the next day and went looking for a Bible-believing church. God had put it in my heart to speak of Jesus. No one in the church told me to do it. I just had it in my heart to win souls once I got there. And then 8 months later, I met the Greater Grace Ministry in England. Amen. Beautiful. And BJ, now she's up there in Manchester, Pennsylvania.
Manchester.
Watching. Speaking of Manchester, well, before we go to Manchester, let's go to Baltimore. Rennie is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Rennie, welcome.
Rennie or Rennie?
Rennie.
It's whatever's closest.
Okay.
So I love this topic of soul winning. I liken it to you're on this highway, and just around the bend where nobody can see, the bridge is out, and everybody's careening down this highway, and you know the bridge is out. What do? Do you just go away and let everybody run around and go off that bridge to their death? Or do you try and stop them and say, you can't go around this bend because the bridge is gone?
Well, some people by their actions tell them to go faster.
Exactly.
No, they're really seriously. It's like, you know, that not throwing up a stop sign, you know, and saying that, you know, God cares. And, you know, and I'm not talking about God's got to lead us. There could be times when God would say to me not to speak to a particular person. They're not ready to hear it, you know, or somebody else already has or whatnot. But it should be on my mind, God, give me opportunities to communicate the gospel wherever it may be. And you would be very surprised. Sometimes, because, Rennie, we walk by sight, which is our big problem. We think somebody's going to react. Somebody doesn't look like they're going to, you know, and it might be the most gentle, humble, broken person you'll ever meet, you know, and they just might respond to the message that you preach. So there's those interesting times as we took our ninth graders out today, or some of the people took our ninth graders out. We also went down to Aldi's and we were evangelizing down there today, And it's just amazing, the opportunity, because, okay, and I don't go out on evangelism because of response. I go because God said go. It's got nothing to do with response. Because I don't know, some days people will be wanting to talk to you. Some days, not one person will take a track in 1 hour. Not one person will even acknowledge you're a human being. But I'm not going out there to get response. I'm going out there because I'm responding to God. And God just would have us to respond to him, even in the most interesting way. You know, we might not think we have nothing to say, but you would be surprised how when you open your mouth, God will fill it, you know?
I recall a time we're on Washington Circle in Boston, and we were soul winning. And this young lady who was new in the church said, well, I don't know the Bible like you guys know it. So I don't feel like I can share the gospel. And we were sitting at a table, and I pointed to a few different people around, and I said, well, do you think you might know it a little more than this guy or this guy? Because you've been with us for a little while, and you've sat under teaching. She said, yeah, well, maybe. Well, just that little encouragement made a soul winner out of her. Paul said, don't be afraid of their faces.
Yes, very important. Yes.
Yeah. You don't need, you know, a biblical degree to go soul winning. You just need the understanding that comes from the words of Jesus when he looks at lost souls and he sees people as sheep without a shepherd. And as you describe it, Rennie, you know, they're going around that bend and the guardrails are off and there's the possibility of them perishing. Well, we know that. That's what we know. The Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, immediately after he was saved and his sight was restored, he immediately went into the synagogues and preached Christ. So you don't need a degree. You don't need any, I mean, training is essential and it's helpful and we're not against it, but you don't have to wait until you evangelize lost souls. As soon as you know, once you were blind, but now you can see, you're ready to evangelize others.
You know, what training did the woman at the well have?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Jesus, come and meet a man who told me everything about myself.
Exactly. So
beautiful.
But gentlemen, thank you. An amazing topic this morning. And you don't know what a lifeline you are to us out here.
Good. Glad to hear that. Thank you, Rennie. Great to talk to you.
God bless.
You too. 800-338-7060. That's toll free. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. Next, let's go back, well, to the Baltimore area. Once again, George is listening live in the Grace Hour. Hi, George.
Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schiavelli.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, Rennie got me going a bit, you know, and I just got a quick testimony, you know, about not walking by sight, you know, with soul winning, right? So it was during the playtime last year, and Diane was in the car with me, and we were pulling up to the CVS on Philadelphia Road, and there was these two dudes outside.
Dudes.
And they, I mean, they was rough-looking dudes, okay? My New York buttons went off, okay? And I said to Diane, I said, Diane, honey, these guys are tough. And then the Holy Spirit checked me and says, invite them to the play. Hmm. I'm like, invite them to the play? I'm wondering if I should have a piece on me. You know what I'm saying? That's how rough they looked. I mean, they really should talk about walking by sight. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I go up to the guys and I say, hey, guys, how you doing today? Hey, I just want to invite you. We're having this exciting Easter play at our church. And they look at it. They look at what I give them. And they were the two of the most gentlest, kindest guys, sweet spirit you ever want to meet.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Valuable lesson there, right, George?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so true. We tend to, you know,
when Jesus says every creature, he meant every creature.
Yeah. And what if somebody reacts? What's the problem with that? What are we don't like rejection? Like Pastor Fred Ellis went up to four people smoking dope today, you know, down there, Aldi's. Right out on the sidewalk, you know, like, I guess that's legal now. I don't know what it is. This crazy state that we live in. What's legal and what's illegal. And he just started talking to them, you know, and maybe a couple of them just looked, a couple were reactionary, but who knows if one of them wasn't really touched by the message that he brought.
That's right.
And there they were. There they were, right in the middle of, you know, entertaining themselves with what I call the stupid drug, you know.
Yeah.
It makes you stupid.
Well, imagine if we waited to talk to people when they weren't sinning, we wouldn't be talking to anybody. Any more than you and I would be saved if Jesus waited until we stopped sinning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's go to where they are. Let's meet them right where they're at. It's kind of like a Billy Graham crusade, right, George? At the end of each one of his crusades, they sing that hymn, Just As I Am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we want people to come to Christ, just the way they are. Not, hey, clean up and come to Jesus, but come to Jesus and he'll clean you up.
Yeah, that's awesome, Pastor Love. And that's what stops people from coming to church is organized religion. In their mind, they think that they do have to clean up before they come to church.
You're right.
That's why, you know, I love what you said there. That's so true. And they think they have to clean up, and they don't. It's a free, free gift. And it's so hard for people to comprehend that at times. And I understand it, you know. I mean, I understand where they are at, you know, when you share it with them, you know, like, wow, this is really happening.
Because
you know,
they've been lied to, George. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. And so he tells them that they can't come to Jesus because of where they're at. And so they try through their own efforts to change themselves or to stop doing this and start doing that. And they can't.
Yeah.
So they give up.
Yeah.
But it's once again, the liar, the father of all lies, has lied to them about the possibilities of their change. And, you know, that's why they just say no, because they have this religious idea about what they have to do before they can receive Christ as their Savior.
Mm. Yeah. I like when we go door knocking, Pastor Schiavelli, someone will tell me, well, I'm not religious. I said, neither was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it catches their attention.
Sure.
It catches their attention, you know? And like, you know, it's so true. It's just go. God is going to do the work. So many times as Christians, I've done it myself many times, and it's often it's wrong. We think we're doing the work, or I didn't save nobody.
Amen.
Never will.
It's God's work. It's God's work.
We just
get the pleasure and the privilege of Him employing us, right?
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Love you.
All right. Love you too. Great to hear from you. Let's go up to Lee, Massachusetts.
Woo-hoo!
And Pastor Duke, we're asking you to hold on. You're going to be coming up next. Jenny, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schiavelli.
Hi.
I wasn't going to call in. I called in to ask Avery if he could make a note to mention to somebody to have a week of speaking about the Bride of Christ. But then I realized that, you know, these last several months, I have been captivated by the fact that we the church, the body of Christ, we are the bride in the making. We are the espoused one of Christ, and that we're being prepared to be his bride. And you know what? It has really spilled out into evangelism for me, because when I soul win now, how can I say this? I look at people as though they are members, possibly they are members of the Bride of Christ, but just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's change. It's like it's become so much more personalized. Like I'll look at someone that I'm about to approach and say, do they know yet that they are a member of the Bride of Christ? You know, could this possibly be a member of the Bride of Christ that just doesn't know it yet?
Mm.
And maybe God will give me words that will reveal that they need to be saved and that, they are a member of the Bride of Christ. And it's just so fun. It's like looking at this huge, it's like we, the bride, are a big puzzle. And a lot of the pieces are being put into place, but there are pieces that only specific members of the body can fit into specific places in the puzzle.
Right.
And so it's like just every time someone gets saved thinking, oh, Lord, the puzzle is getting more and more complete until finally it'll be all finished and you'll come for us.
Wow.
But it really adds something to soul winning. And when I think of it in terms of members of the bride that are out there all over the world that just don't know it yet and that are being gathered in.
Wow. Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And that's why evangelism is so important, because God wants to complete his work in the church. He wants to complete his bride, if you will. And each one of those members in particular are so invaluable to his corporate body.
Right. And you know, Pastor Love, Pastor Ben said one time, some time ago, he said when the war broke out, he just made this statement that really impacted me. And he said, you know, this is all about the bride, gathering the bride. And I thought, you know, these are, like you said earlier in the program, this is the last hour. And if he can't get people's attention by wooing them, then he's going to use severe mercies.
That's right.
And it really helps to digest what's happening all over the world when you think of it in terms of mercy.
Amen.
Yeah.
These are exciting days that we're living in, aren't they?
Oh, Pastor Love, they are. They really, but you have to look at it from God's perspective, or you're stunk.
You'll be overwhelmed if you do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny.
Pastor Shabelli, we're praying for you.
Thank you. Yes.
Off he goes. Bye, Jenny. Amen. Thanks for the call. Let's go next up to Manchester, Pennsylvania.
Manchester.
Pastor Duke Horton, looks like you may get the last word in, Pastor Duke.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Shabelli.
Welcome.
I just wanted to say we had the privilege on this past Sunday after church, all of our pastors and elders and the body, we went out on evangelism, and the team that went, that I was part of, we went to an area, and it was snowing, bitter cold, and we were trying to find the street, and we pulled up in front of this house, and while we were looking at the map, someone walked up and knocked on the passenger window door, and Doug put down the window, and we ended up talking to this lady for well over maybe 35, 45 minutes. And she's been praying for a church. She was in a church, and then when COVID and everything happened, she said when they went back, everything changed. The message changed. And she was so excited to meet us. And we just sat there in the car and talked to her for 45 minutes and just sharing Christ with her and the Word. And she was so excited, and she said we gave her we gave her a stack of tracts. She said, I'm going to tell all these people in my neighborhood about your church. It was amazing. So I just said, you know, the weather was contrary, everything was contrary, but we just went by faith, and I'm just so glad, you know, we're a part of a ministry that by faith takes the word to the streets and every opportunity we have, because we're going to be rejoicing for eternity with the people that God had us be privileged to be a co-laborer with him in the gospel. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And isn't it true, Pastor Duke, that when we go home to be with the Lord and our lives here on the earth are complete, we won't be soul winning any longer.
That's right.
Amen.
It's only about today's opportunities and here in time. And again, those opportunities with each passing day are now behind us. And we just have to focus on the opportunities that God is going to present us with today and in the days to come, and take full advantage of those opportunities and remind ourselves this is our chief aim. This is our objective. This is our goal, to bring as many people to Christ as possible.
Tonight we have a Bible class on Philippians. We start off with Acts 16, where we have an open heaven, an open hell, an open heart, an open house, an open church, open the Bible, and open life. And then we're going to talk about Philippians and confidence and joy. So anybody's welcome to come, 6 to 8.
You mean it's an open class?
It's open, even to people in Manchester.
Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
Beautiful.
And, well, I've been watching you guys, and we're by the grace of God, hopefully I'll be able to make it down for the play and maybe a Sunday or Wednesday service real soon.
We always look forward to having you and anyone that's able to come with you, Pastor Duke.
Amen. So let's keep going until we meet him in the air or we go home to meet him. Either way, let's keep sharing the gospel. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Well, Julie wants to know over there in Great Britain, is your class on Zoom?
I don't know.
I don't think that it is. But
is it Cody?
No, it's not.
Cody says no.
Sorry about that, Julie. But again, if it's made available in the future, we'll let you know. Ron, our good friend Ron, who drives the limousine up in New York City, says, I'm watching and listening today from Newark Airport.
Wow.
Thank you, Ron. It's always a pleasure to know that you're tuning into the Grace Hour, encouraging to us to know that you're listening. And Renuka writes, I'm watching and listening from Ellicott City. Very thankful for this provision. And glad to hear that as well. So, Easter play coming up. We do want to remind everyone in the local Baltimore area once again that that is coming soon.
What April about church
12th.
On Sunday?
Church on Sunday is coming even sooner than
even
the play.
Even sooner than the play.
That's going to be Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and then Sunday at 11 a.m. and then Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. And don't forget, too, if you're up in the greater northeast area of the country, there's the Northeast Conference at the Marlborough Church with Pastor Bailey Norman hosting. Pastor Schaller is going to be there all weekend long, and things get underway tonight and then tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon with an outreach, and then they'll have a meeting tomorrow night and then the Sunday morning service. So that's going to be a pretty exciting time. So, friends, if you can make it out, go out and hear the pastors and I think people from throughout Northeast, New York State, Pennsylvania, Canada, from Montreal, I heard they're coming down. So that sounds like it's going to be an exciting weekend. You won't want to miss out on that. And we're going to wrap things up here today, friends. Thank you so much. Once again, next Monday, our first broadcast of next week will be at 11 a.m. So please note the time change. Plan now to join us for our first live broadcast at 11 a.m. this coming Monday, April 4th.